Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace.
800-301-2963. 800-301-2963. 800-301-2963. That's 800-301-2963.
Smartphone to your Bluetooth with your earpiece on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid gear. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
Eric Billingsley.
Isaac Wilson.
Nice. All right, so anyway, yeah, we're here to talk nerdy with you. Let's start out with talk about some television. It is the beginning of the new season. Eric, first of all, I got to ask you, you were a America's Got Talent viewer like Isaac and I were.
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy with the outcome?
Yes, ultimately. I this is going to make me sound like really cold and heartless, but, you know, like Howard Stern, who this was his last season, sadly to say.
Yeah.
He's the only judge on there that will tell the truth. I mean, he says that, but he is the only one. Everyone else, forget about it. He is the only one that actually takes the job seriously and will tell people when they're bad or when they mess up.
Or why they won't make it through. Not saying that they're bad performers, just saying why they wouldn't make it through.
Right. Yeah, even, you know, when they're past the point where they do any voting at all, when it's all, you know, votes by America, he'll sit there and say, I don't think America's going to vote for you because of this, this, and this. And he's usually right, you know?
Yeah.
The kid, and I can't remember his name, with the stutter.
Drew Lynch.
Passing him along, I mean, I understand why they did it, but it undermines the credibility of the show, and for him to have made it that far, he's not, I gotta say, I was uncomfortable watching his routine, and the few times that I did laugh, it was just kind of that kind of nervous, you know what I mean?
Well, and you know what, thing about him is he could write half the amount of material and do the full amount of the show, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, his, sure, it might have been a gimmick. I think it became a gimmick as he got, you know, moved along. Because, I mean, I don't know. You got to feel bad for the guy. He was funny. Granted, he was good. But I don't think he was that good.
Yeah, I just didn't. Yeah, I thought it was definitely a pity vote. And, I mean, here's the thing.
I think
he would be great going around to schools and hospitals and places where he could inspire kids with disabilities to follow their dreams. I mean, even if he just made it to past the first or second rounds, that would have been enough, I guess fame or whatever, to propel him into that kind of a career. And he could spend the rest of his life speaking and doing engagements like that. He was not deserving of making it to the semifinals, and certainly not the finals.
I think I could have accepted him in the top five, but the top two just threw me. I'm like, no. I mean, Oz should have made it further than him.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Mentalist was awesome.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that should have made it further than Drew Lynch.
Yeah, I think I'd still go to a comedy club to see him. So, I mean, he's still got that future to tour around with that. And you're right, it would be a great motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. But, as for America's Got Talent, have a regular show at Vegas, I'm glad he didn't win because of that.
It's considering that I've watched this is the I started watching it when Howard Stern joined the cast or mm-hmm. the judges. But I, you see things and you see trends as the show goes along. And I've heard Howard say many times, and I've even heard the other judges say this, even Howie, mm-hmm. where they'll go, they'll tell a performer at a certain point, it's like, you've got a really good backstory and we're all really touched by that. And, or if it's like a veteran, you've given your all for this country.
Right.
But at this point in the competition, we have to judge you on your talent and your talent alone. They never had that talk with Drew Lynch, and they should have.
The ventriloquist won. He was good, but I think Howard said it the best, like right before the finals or right during the last performance they had, and he said, "All your voices are similar."
Yeah,
and I think that was that right there should have not. I don't think he should have won because I agreed with that 100%. I was pulling for Oz to win. I mean, I was loving Piff the Magic Dragon, but I just didn't think he had a chance to win.
Not of those last few.
Yeah, his performance started to drop off after the first couple.
Yeah, but he was funny. But still, I think Oz should have taken it.
Or the Regurgitator.
Yeah.
The Regurgitator, it was bizarre, and yet it was still magic.
And it was still a talent.
Good. Yeah.
Here's the thing about the Regurgitator that kept him in the competition and still made him one of my favorites, even though what he was doing was disgusting. But every time he came back... Yeah, I mean, how many ways can you sell a guy who swallows things and spits them back up, right?
Right, right.
But somehow the guy managed to reinvent his act. Every time he came back, he would do something different.
Yeah.
That just like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And so, I was with Heidi Klum on that one. It's like, that guy was good. But I will tell you this. When him and Penn and Teller were on stage performing together, I think Teller outdid him with the magic when he produced the goldfish out of thin air. Or thin water. But... that right there, I'm like, what? That was cool. It's very rare that those types of shows get it right for me. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I stopped watching American Idol. I'm still a sucker for the Voice, though. We'll see how that one goes this season. They just started that one up this week. I don't know. I knew you were a fan, so I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, if they don't replace Howard, though, with someone who is going to, be the hardliner on this, even if it's someone who's a total dick, like like Simon Cowell or Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
They at least weigh it in the other direction because, as far as Heidi's just weird. Yeah. I mean, her comments about the ventriloquist back when he did when he first did the bit with where the doll was out on the stage and started talking on its own.
Yeah.
And then she made the comment. She's like, "Yeah, but you kind of blew it by walking off stage because we couldn't see your lips not moving." It's like, hello.
Yeah. There's a living doll on stage
that's talking to you, and you're talking about you can't see his lips not moving.
Yeah, true. And then Mel B, I think she's like totally just loves everybody anyways. And then Howie, he's just Howie.
Yeah.
He's just the germaphobe that automatically gets to be the volunteer on stage because he hates doing everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they replace Howard Stern with. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's move on to some more nerdy topics. The new TV season has started. We've got a couple new series that I started watching. One of them, out of curiosity, it had a lot of the same people that did The Blacklist, and that is Blindspot, and where this girl appears in the middle of Times Square, and she's in a bag, and they think it's a bomb in the bag, and then she gets out of the bag, and she's completely naked, but covered in tattoos, and she has no idea who she is, there's some kind of drug that's giving her amnesia. The big letters on the back, on her back, are the name of an FBI agent. And so he's called in on it, and he has no idea who she is. She has no idea who he is. She has no idea who she is, so, you know. But anyway, then they start to solve crimes. One of the tattoos, and I can see where this is going, but, like, one of the tattoos on her ear is an address and a date, and they go to that address and on that date, and they pretty much solve a crime of somebody going to blow something up. And so I see where this is going to go, that each one of the tattoos has something.
And
so,
as they solve each one is a clue to her past.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I'm like, okay, you know, I was curious when I saw the previews and, you know, all the trailers they were showing about it, mainly because I just wanted to see a naked girl with tattoos all over, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, one of the tattoos.
There are websites for that, Gil.
Oh, yeah, internet. But there's one tattoo that's actually it's covered up. It's a big black square, and it covers up original tattoos, and they think she's a Navy SEAL, but the Navy SEALs don't have females. And then they say, well, that you know of. And it's like, okay. You can see exactly where it's going to go, and I'm going to give it a couple episodes to see if they prove me wrong. I mean, the Blacklist proved me wrong. That got to be very good. But I at first, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's just going to give names. They're going to catch these people each week. It's going to be the villain of the week. But it turned out to be a little bit more than that. It's been done on the Blacklist. They don't need to do it on this show.
Right. And here's the thing. It's like the Blacklist, I wouldn't have probably would have never watched it in the first place. Certainly wouldn't still be watching it if it wasn't for one thing. And that is
James Spader.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is his show. He is that show.
Yeah.
Not many other actors could carry that show. Yeah. The writing at times has been quite good, but at other times it's been quite bad.
Oh yeah.
It really, you know, it's very much a mixed bag. But he carries the show even through the bad episodes because he's such a charismatic actor and he's fun to watch on screen.
Yeah. And this show, I mean, they got, what's her name from Carmen Sandiego? Hello, Gumshoes? I can't think of the actress's name. But anyway, she's on this, and it's like, that's about the only prominent actor they have that grabs my attention. And that's just because I saw her in Carmen Sandiego's. I don't know.
Where in the world was she?
She was hanging out with Waldo.
Ah.
Like I said, I saw the previews and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And then it's like, okay, I can see exactly where they're going. Like I said, I'm going to give it a couple more episodes. We'll see what happens.
I want to ask you one thing. Because,
okay.
I was going to ask you this before the podcast, but during the podcast is a good idea. We talked quite a bit about The Strain last year.
Yeah.
And I've been recording the episodes, but I haven't watched a single one from this season. And I haven't heard you mention anything. And then at the same time, I've been seeing things online that this season has been really bad. So I was wondering what your take was on that.
Well, you know what? I didn't even know they started the new season. I did.
It's almost over.
Holy crap. I'm going to go to On Demand now. That's on FX, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go I didn't realize they started the new season.
Yeah, I've been recording it, and I've been hearing things online that, you know, that it just had been getting progressively worse throughout the season.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, that's not good. And then I added to that the fact that I was like, well, Gil hasn't mentioned it, so maybe it really is bad. So.
Wow, yeah, I just didn't even know they started. That's normally I catch those. I haven't heard a word about it being back on.
I'll binge watch it over a couple of weekends sometime and catch up.
I'll do the same with On Demand. I'll get it all on Demand and get it that way because FX has a great On Demand service. So.
Yeah, yeah, they're good about that.
Yeah, so I'm well now that I know anyway. Wow, and I guess maybe they didn't publicize it as much because it wasn't going to be that good. Who knows?
I don't know. It got a lot of positive critical praise last season.
Yeah, so. Last season was great. I thought anyway they followed the book really well.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right, that's on my list. Writing it down, carving it into the desk here. All right, well, let's talk about another one here. This one is another one based on a book that was actually based on a movie that was based on a book. And you know when it's too many based-ons involved, it's not going to be that great. But I will say that it's some good sci-fi. And that is the new series Minority Report. It's on Fox. By the way, Blindspot is on NBC. Minority Report is on Fox. Again, it's based on the movie that Tom Cruise was in that was based on the book, Minority Report, or the story. Minority Report. And just like, you know, we're talking about this before the podcast, you and I were, Eric, and usually these based ons are kind of, you know, they kind of stray. Again, with the movie, it really strayed, but it kept the general idea. And we're talking about this also, and we talked about this back when we talked about Man in the High Castle. Most Philip K. Dick-based movies or whatever, they are very loosely based on what he wrote. So basically this one here, this happens like a I think they said like 20 years after the movie. And what it is pre-crime has been dismantled, and the precogs have all been shipped off to this island to where they have no more contact with humanity. Well, two of them got bored, the two boys, the two twins. And so now one of them, he's like a big, seeing the future, he's a big rich guy now. The other one was the one that always caught glimpses. He didn't get too much of the future, but he's trying to, if he sees a murder happen, he tries to stop it beforehand, kind of like what Tom Cruise is doing as a pre-crime cop. So anyway, so he's trying to stop it. Well, now he teams up with a detective. Now that pre-crime is no longer, the detectives are having to work harder. You know, they're actually going to have to do their job like they do now. Anyway, but he's teaming up with her, and they're, again, it's going to be whatever crime he sees. But there's a backstory to it, and they hinted at it at the end of the pilot episode, in which somehow all three of them are captured and used again. And the girl saw this in one of her precognition views, or whatever you want to call them. There's a backstory going on with it, so it might be pretty interesting. I will say this. It takes place in the year 2065, and the future looks pretty cool. We got advertising everywhere on the buildings. All sorts of the police, or the Big Brothers out there, they got that aspect with monitoring everybody through their social media, etc. Selfies have taken an all-time low, if you ask me. They have these little wristbands. They showed one a teenage girl on a tour in a museum, and the wristband flew up in the air and hovered above them, and they all posed for selfies. It's like, oh no, selfies don't go away. But anyway, they've got some nice futuristic stuff going on. And so far, he stopped an assassination on the mayor of Washington, D.C. There's a big other thing going on, too, in the background. So, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good series. Again, you can never tell by the first episode. You got to give them like at least two or three. Sometimes Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Look at that, how corny that first episode of that one was.
Yeah, that took more than a few episodes.
True. It took a movie to get that one on track. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna give it a shot. And like I said, it's got some good science fiction to it. The future looks pretty cool, if you ask me, according to this movie, even though they don't have pre-crime anymore. But yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that we got some more sci-fi going on television. And of course, Sci-Fi Network. I can't wait for Childhood's End to come on the Sci-Fi Network. I think that comes in November. Looks like this season is going to be a lot of sci-fi on television. There's another one coming.
Let's just hope it's good sci-fi.
Right.
Bad sci-fi does no one any favors.
Right. I'm trying to think, huh?
Heroes?
Yeah, Heroes Reborn. That's the other one that's coming up this week.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know what? I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to wait and see how it goes and what the word of mouth is. I really want to. I never watched the last two seasons of Heroes, and I have them on Blu-ray. So I really want to get caught up with the original series before I dig into this one.
Yeah, no telling where they're going to go with this one, but from the trailers and previews, you see that they are going to have some of the original heroes on it. Yeah, I'm curious about this one. Maybe they've got a chance to, you know, make up for that last season or last two seasons, maybe. We'll see what happens with that. But that's another sci-fi coming up. And then we got, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., branch offs from those we talked about before. Powerless. I mean, there's all sorts of chances for sci-fi on television this season. So we'll see what happens. But I will say, so far, Minority Report, I'm going to give it a chance, and only because it looks pretty cool. The other one, Blind Spot, I'm going to give it a chance only because I hope it gets better. We'll see. Oh, I guess we got to talk about some cartoons, because, hey, what's more nerdy than watching a bunch of cartoons? Isaac and I have picked up a new cartoon series. You know, we tried to get you guys to watch Steven Universe. We got Tim Coker to do it. Still working on you, Eric. Tim Matson just won't. But we got a new one.
And Smurfs?
No.
La 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 la.
But it's called We Bear Bears, and it's another one of those 11-minute cartoons. I love that Cartoon Network does this. They have those really short cartoons because they're fun in small doses. But this one, it's got some great vocal talent. One of the characters, that a recurring character, is played by Patton Oswalt, and he plays a koala named Nom Nom, who he's got an addiction problem, as we later find out. But anyway, Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live, he is
the panda.
Can't think of, there's a comedian, had his own series on Comedy Central for a little while. I can't think of his name, but he plays the polar bear, which is Ice Bear. I can't think of the character, the guy that plays Grizzly Bear, but it's three bears living together, trying to socialize. It's just weird.
It's not really even a story-based cartoon. It's like your normal Saturday morning cartoons that you just pick up and watch.
Yeah. I mean, there's some of the episodes, they're just, I mean, it's not a big, long storytelling cartoon like, Steven Universe. Yeah, but I was trying to think of, Adventure Time. It's not like either, so... But, you know, it's just got these little short bits. In fact, who was it? Oh, Jason Lee, you know, the guy that played My Name is Earl. He played Bigfoot named Charlie. They got great voice actors coming in, you know, famous people doing the voices. And I think that's what grabbed me, other than the silliness. Anything you'd like to pass on about it also, Isaac?
You were going off on a tangent kind of earlier about how it's, you know, not story-based. There's some references you might miss in future episodes, like you might not get a real good idea of what's going on, but you'll still get the gist of what's happening.
There's some things that are like, mentioned later on,
like the characters that are introduced,
like Chloe
and Nom Nom.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I don't know, it's a hard call on whether it's a big story based one big story is what I'm saying, like Steven Universe and Adventure Time, but it's fun to watch.
Does Nom Nom have like lots of twin brothers
and in charge of bunkers, you know,
lanyards?
That would be cool if they added that in. The thing that gets me, Bobby Moynihan, he plays the panda bear who's always looking for a date. He's like, I can't think of the app that he uses on his phone.
Oh, it's
My Date or something. It's weird, but yeah. So he's each one of these guys have their own characteristics that are just, I don't know.
He's kind of looking for dates on a app like Tinder or whatever. Yeah. I don't remember what it was. But basically, each character has their own characteristic. Grizzly Bear, Grizz, is trying to always make friends. Panda's always trying to get a date. And then, I don't know what Ice Bear is.
Yeah, Ice Bear, one of his quotes, Isaac, I'm going to let you deliver the quote. Eric, this is one that grabbed me and Isaac both, you know, and just like, this is why, when we heard that line, it's like, yeah, this is why I'm watching this. It's the one about friends.
Oh, okay, so they're trying to get Chloe, who is a small little prodigy girl in college. She's like 11, not even that old, but they're trying to make her friends. And so each bear has their own individual way of making friends. And then it comes to Ice Bear, and he's in like a little gym training martial arts place. And she's like, I thought we were here to make friends. And then Ice Bear just says, all Ice Bear's friends are future enemies.
It's just things like that. I've got the comedian's name that plays Ice Bear's name's Dimitri Martin. I don't know if you've heard his name before, but...
No.
Okay, he had a series on Comedy Central for a while. So Ellie Kemper from The Office, she plays Lucy, who's like one of Panda's dates, kind of, sort of.
There's only like 12 episodes. It's not too far into the series yet.
Yeah. Anyway, those are just some of the voices on there. But anyway, yeah, it's one of those silly ones. It's actually worth, it's got the adult references in it. And so it's a fun cartoon. I guess that covers the television aspect of everything in the Nerd Up podcast world. We need to talk about games. Eric doesn't have time for television anymore, which is like the weirdest thing I've ever heard, because he's playing a game.
What kind of bizarro universe are we in?
So, Eric, what game has got you so addicted?
Oh, it's this little indie game that, you know, most people haven't heard of. It's called Destiny. Yeah, I don't know how they stumbled across it. I mean, it's not like it, you know, they advertise for this thing
all over
hours a day, every station. I'm a old school World of Warcraft player. I played that for at least 5 or 6 years till I finally broke my way away from it. And I still have it installed on my computer. And once in a blue moon, I'll log in, because you can play for to level 20 for free. And I'll log in and play for a little bit, and then that's enough of a fix for right now. But I miss you know, raiding with friends, and you know, the universe, and there's just a lot of things in an MMO that become part of your daily or every other day routine, and you look forward to them. That's the, you know, coming home, sitting down and playing you know, a 2 or 3 hour gaming session, which sometimes turns into 4 or 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't play World of Warcraft anymore, because it just began sucking up so much of my time. But this is in, I mean, you know, I'm sure that there will be fanboys out there that just like take total offense of this. But I mean, this wants to be, or Bungie wants to have the World of Warcraft of consoles. Because, you know, WoW is not on consoles. It would never work on a console. It's just way too many, you know, keyboard commands.
Right.
But this is a first-person shooter with RPG elements to it. And it's all about, getting, you know, getting better loot. Most games, well, I won't say most games, but a good portion of games nowadays, that's what it's about, getting better loot and being able to do more damage so you can get better loot so you can do more damage and so on and so forth.
Right.
That's what this is, you know, it's a grind, but they have raids and they have smaller versions of that, which you just run three people through, and then they have a lot of content that you just play by yourself. But you can always team up, and you can change the level on a lot of this content. Anyway, there's a lot to do there. And this was the beginning of the second year, and they introduced a huge DLC called The Taken King. And it's not just new content. They have, in a lot of ways, rewritten the game, and a lot of the rules are out the window and completely changed. It's a clean slate. I mean, you know, if your character gets to keep their level, and you do have a head start on everyone else, but they did allow new characters to instantly jump to level 25. The cap level is 40 now, so that they could play with their friends, which I thought was a cool thing. There's no point in making people do the grind all the way through to level 40 if they don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
But when you get to level 40, then it's all about leveling your life. There's always numbers that you want to increase. The higher your numbers, the more damage you do, and kind of the more fun the game becomes. So anyway, I've been really into it. I've been playing nonstop since it came out. I've never done this before. I mean, there's no question I'm a hardcore nerd. Everyone knows that. But I had never taken off time from work in order to play a game.
Uh-huh.
I took off 2 days for the day it went live and the next day. And I sat in front of the TV and, like Cartman, you know.
Hopefully your boss does not subscribe to this podcast.
Oh, no. It was legit. I took the days off in advance. I knew what was going to happen.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I was like, I want to be home as much as I can for those 2 days and just, you know, go crazy with this content. Yeah, it's got problems, but hopefully those problems will get ironed out. That, you know, it's kind of new territory. There's been MMOs on consoles before, but nothing to the degree of success that this game has had. It's just insane how many people are playing this. And
well, how much of it is due to promotions, though?
Well, I'm sure a lot of it, but I mean, it's Bungie, first of all, and Bungie already has a built-in fan base of fanboys from Halo,
right?
And they will follow the Bungie developers wherever they go and whatever they do. And it just so happens that Bungie is a good development house. I mean, these games, Halo didn't become popular by accident. And it pretty much, you know, revolutionized the first person shooter.
Right.
And there's a lot of, if you're a Halo fan, you'll see similarities in the environment and the feel and the gameplay. It wasn't very long until I started playing. I was like, you know what? This kind of reminds me a little of Halo, but I'm sure that's not by accident.
Now I heard that, Nathan Fillion is a voiceover in that.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up. That is the number one right thing that Bungie did with this DLC content. He did a voice in the game from the beginning, but the character he's like the guy in charge. There's three classes. There's hunters, titans, and warlocks. And my character's a warlock. I've got a titan role, but I haven't done anything with him. I'm kind of a one character person, but a lot of people have many of them. And each one of those classes has a different person they report to. Well, the hunters report to this guy Cade, who is an exo. He's a some sort of bioengineered, biomechanical life form. I'm not sure what they are, honestly. But he's voiced by Nathan Fillion, and in the first year's content, he really didn't have that much to do or say, and the lines that they gave him were really nothing worth writing home about. But that totally changed in this DLC. I mean, he is basically the star of the DLC. His voice is all over it. It's obvious someone is a Firefly fan because his lines are written as Captain Mal. I mean, any Firefly. Oh, absolutely. Any Firefly fan would play this game. It's like, they're writing these lines for Mal Reynolds. These are exactly what Mal Reynolds would be saying. And it's good stuff, too. It's pretty damn funny, I gotta say.
Oh, good.
So I've been really enjoying it. Fun game. You know, if you're already playing it, if people out there listening to this already played Destiny before the DLC, they're guaranteed to be playing the DLC. But it's more friendly now, so I think a lot more people will probably hop on board.
Now, how much extra did the DLC cost?
Yeah, well, that was a source of some complaints. It was $39.95 if you I got the digital version, but they had different packages that ranged all the way up to like, you know, $80 or whatever.
Wow.
Legendary, that has all the bells and whistles, and it also contains the first year and all the previous content. But I already had all that, so I was just, you know, all I wanted was the upgrade. But the upgrade alone was more than what people are used to paying for DLC.
Right. Now, is that just for the PS4?
No. It's actually, I think it's on all four consoles, the last gens and next gen. So
okay.
But I think that the DLC, the new version, is only on the next gen. I think that it just has got too much, more than the last gen systems can handle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense. I got to have an excuse to start out a game. Normally, my excuse not to play a game is, oh, well, I don't have that console.
So, do you have a console?
We've got Wii U, and we have an Xbox 360.
Okay.
And a PC.
You can get the original game for the Xbox 360, and it's not on PC. I wish it was. Actually,
it's not on Steam.
No.
Wow.
They talked about when they were releasing. They kept hinting that they were going to do a PC release down the road, but it's been a year now, and they're just, you know, it's all they can do to pump out the new content for their existing. I don't see it going to PC, honestly. They don't have any need to. They're huge on consoles.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's a big reason why I bought why I finally broke down and bought my PS4, was so I could play Destiny.
Well, that's the other platform it's Isaac. He plays on it. He got me on a couple of things once, and I just can't sit in front of the computer with our setup right now. One of these days I'm going to have to get that. That's what I really want. I want to get one of those Steam boxes. Like they sell them at Walmart now for like about the same price as a PS4 or an Xbox One.
Yeah, a little bit more, $5.99, I think, is the.
Yeah, you're right. And so I've been wanting to get one of those. Maybe that'll be my excuse. If they go to Steam, then I'll do it.
Well, I mean, if you get a Steam box, there's so many other games out there that will never ever be on consoles.
Right.
You wouldn't have to worry about one in particular. I had a friend that was playing it on Xbox, and I had been, you know, really kind of psyched about it to begin with. And when he got it, he played it nonstop, and I was like, okay, damn it, I'm going to get a console so I can play this game. And I just didn't want to buy an Xbox after the Three Rings of Death and the fact that they most of their games run at half the frame rate that PS4 games do.
Right.
And I'm sure you'll probably get some email from Xbox fanboys about this, but it's true. It's just the hardware in the Xbox is not, on the Xbox One, is not as good as what they've got in the PS4. And either that or the programming is just really crappy for the Xbox, because otherwise it should be able to keep up with the frame rate that the PS4 does, but it doesn't. But anyway, that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, it would be. What was that one Tim Madsen was talking about last week?
Oh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. That's PS4 only also.
Yep. Because the PS4 is the only one with those graphics that can like have an actual face.
Yeah, we watched Eric, but we watched, or Isaac was watching video, you know, gameplay of this, of Until Dawn, and he was watching, you know, some YouTubers. I guess they were playing it. Reviewing it?
Well, not reviewing it. Since we can't afford a PlayStation, I just watched them play through it, the entire thing.
So, and I was looking at that, and I walked by one time, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, that's, now his name's going to jump out of my head again.
Agent Grant from...
Yeah, Grant Ward is, they have his face in there.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what? And then there's a guy that's in that movie, Mr. Robot, or the TV series Mr. Robot, he's in there.
They've also got, Pucinito, I don't know, is it Italian?
Yeah, but I saw these actors, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know those people. And then I was looking at the quality of the audio or the video, and I'm like, wow, we might have to get a PS4.
Well, I checked it out. I watched the game trailer or something after Tim had recommended it. A couple of weeks ago or three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm interested in it, but then I saw that it was like basically they're asking like $49 or $59 for it, and I was no, I would pay $30 maybe, but and Tim said basically, don't pay more than $30 for it.
But it was interesting to see, and I think that's one like you're talking about this with the frame rate and everything else, they can't get that great quality. Again, I thought they were the actors for a couple of frames, and now you realize, oh no, that's animation, but still. That's how good it is, the video.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go off on the whole topic, but basically it's Xbox put their, or Microsoft put their money on the fact that they thought that more than people wanting a dedicated gaming box, people want an entertainment center that they can hook everything into,
yeah.
And they wanted this interactivity. Well, there may be those people out there, mm-hmm. but those aren't the gamer crowd that has been supporting the Xbox since day one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people felt, you know, well, and after the Three Rings of Death and then that, yeah, I was like, forget about it. I'm sticking with the PlayStation. But I mean, I owned an original Xbox and a 360 until I got the Three Rings of Death, and I was going to go get another one. And I was like, you know what? I haven't had a PlayStation since the very first PS1. And I was like, I'm going to give a PlayStation a try. Plus, I didn't have a Blu-ray player, and boom, that took care of that problem right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so ever since that day, I got a PS3. You know, I traded in my shell of a Xbox because they actually would give you money for ones that had the three rings skin because I guess it could be fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
And gave me good credit towards a brand new machine. I was like, I'll take a PS3, and yeah, now I'm on the PS4, and I don't see myself ever going back to an Xbox. And yeah. I think that they just really pushed a lot of people away with trying to be something that that people didn't really want them to be in the first place. Maybe the next console, which is going to be what? A minimum of, or maximum of 4 years, I guarantee. Yeah. It's not going to be a 10-year life cycle like it was with the last gen, I guarantee
right.
that.
Right. Yeah, and that's, that's the thing. PlayStation tried to do that with their PlayStation Network, and then they, you know, it didn't take them long to say, you know, let's focus on the games. That's what I think that happened anyway.
Because, yeah, Xbox has a better network,
yeah.
But yeah, PlayStation has the better hardware.
Right, sure. Yeah, so, you know, maybe we'll have to look into that. Maybe for Christmas, that's what Isaac's going to get me, is a PS4.
Sure.
Well, if you go with the Steam Box, there was another game that I just picked up, and I haven't played it once since the DLC for Destiny came out,
uh-huh.
but Mad Max.
Oh, yeah.
Usually games that are based on movies tend to suck. But this one's been in development for a while, and you know, the game trailers they were releasing looked really, really awesome. And then the movie came out, and I love the movie. And I don't know if we've had a formal discussion, but I think you guys, actually, I think that's one that you and Isaac had.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I didn't care that, you know, the plot was paper thin. It was something that I had never seen before. It was literally a 2-hour action scene with like a 10-minute breather in the middle.
Exactly. And that's what I loved about it myself.
I've never seen that before, and I probably will never see that again, at least not done to that degree and done that professionally. And it was done almost entirely for real, with real cars and real stuntmen and real people putting their lives at risk, which is what action movies used to be about before CGI.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There was
a little bit of CGI, you know, to mark out Charlize Theron's arm,
yeah.
And things that, you know, just practical things that they had to do. But if it could be done practically, they did it.
Yeah, and that's what made that a really good movie. And plus, the stuff that was CGI was beautiful CGI.
Yeah.
You know, like that storm in the sand. But, all right, well, let's see. How's the game? How's the game compared to the movie?
Well, that's the thing. I had high expectations after the trailers and after the movie, and it's definitely not meeting those expectations. It's not. It doesn't feel like Mad Max. It borrows from a lot of different games, like Far Cry. There's a definitely, it's like kind of a scaled down Far Cry. If you, you know, look at it from like a big picture sort of way, and you have to open up different areas in the map, and you know, it uses a lot of the same game mechanics, but it's also a driving game. There's going to be a lot of driving in it. And the overall game depends upon you collecting parts, and you know, gradually there's this. He's kind of a Gollum-esque type creature. Actually, for Babylon 5 fans, he reminds me a lot of Zathras.
Oh, wow.
And he's just this kind of like underling, you know, that just kind of hunched over and kind of an Igor type character that basically finds Max laid out in the desert and you know, says he's the one of prophecy, and he worships this machine god, and he's a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the better mechanic you are, the more you get, the closer you are to heaven and to God. You know, it's this whole theology made around the basically right. designed around automobiles, which is kind of cool, actually, I guess.
Yeah.
And so he's you know, going to build you this massive car because your car got stolen. And he's like, forget about that car. I'll make you the car to rule all cars. So you spend your time gathering parts and upgrading the car little bits at a time. And, you know, basically they're, you know, bad guys. What are they called? Not road boys. War boys.
War boys. Oh, okay. Yeah, the witness me guys?
Yeah, yeah. There's war boys all over the place. Although I don't think I've heard any of them say witness me. And that's really... Yeah, and I don't know if it's maybe some legal thing or maybe that's something they put in. I don't know, but it's, you know, it feels, I miss it because it's like that's the one of those iconic things about the movie that you want in the game. You
right.
Now they're just kind of bland, regular post-apocalyptic guys that you know run off the road and basically trash them. And if your car takes too much damage, then you have to get out of it while your little underling. Fixes it, which takes time, but that's something else that you can upgrade is to cut down on the time it takes to repair. But while you're out, you know, if you haven't already dispatched those guys, they're trying to run you down while you're outside of your car.
Oh, wow. Well, kind of like, what is that, Grand Theft Auto, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely the elements of that, too. And it is a huge map. I haven't even unlocked, like, I've only unlocked maybe three sections of something that looks like there's at least 10 or 12, and I've played a lot of the game already, but... So it's fun. It's just doesn't have the authentic Mad Max feel I was really hoping for.
Yeah, and with that name, it should have a little more to it. So compared to Destiny, which one? Well, I guess Destiny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see here. Anything else we have to discuss?
Shovel Knight.
Okay. What's a Shovel Knight?
Shovel Knight is an indie game that is, it's an indie game. Most games, they say, they try to be retro, but all they do is, like, add a few pixels here and there and add some 8-bit music. Shovel Knight actually feels like it's an old 8-bit game you could play on, like, the NES cartridge. And, you're a knight who wields a shovel trying to go save his girlfriend. So, but it actually is really fun because it has elements from, like, Mega Man with all the side-scrolling stages.
Oh, I hated that game.
Everybody who's not a good platformer does.
Yeah.
Including me. But it's got the phenomenal soundtrack and the side-scrolling stages and all of the original enemies. It's got elements from Zelda with, like, the sword, well, shovel combat. And it also has Final Fantasy, kind of, because you get all the gold and then you go back to the village and buy upgrades for Shovel Knight, and you buy little power-up things you can use. And all in all, it's a really good game. But the thing is, on Thursday of, I think it was last week, there was new DLC released. And it's not just, you know, add some stuff to the game. It adds an entirely new character, who is one of the former bosses of the Order of No Quarter. And he's basically one of those. He's Plague Knight.
Mm.
He's representing, you know, like the old 15th century plague doctors, but in this game he's a crazed alchemist with, like, the gameplay's entirely different. You instead of using your sword based combat, you have a whole bunch of potions that you mix and match to create huge explosive potions or potions that cause flames, potions that cause little lightning sparks.
So you're basically playing as a different class. It's
yeah,
like a wizard class
kind of. Yeah, or I was alchemist gonna say, like, instead of you've got the swordsman, and then now you've got the wizard, kind of the...
Oh, I see. And so you're forced to do that character now? The new download?
You're not really... Well, it's more... It was an update, but it's free DLC. Yeah, it's a really fun game, and it's on the Wii U, the Xbox One, I think the PlayStation 4. It might not be. It's on... No, it's on the
Steam.
It's on Steam. That's what I've got it for. It's on Steam, the Wii U, Xbox One, and maybe PlayStation 4.
Quick announcement on the topic of games, too. I don't know if it's still available, but it was, I think, as of yesterday. You can, Origin, EA game service that they're trying, they're wannabe Steam.
They give away
free older games periodically, and as of yesterday, they were still giving away free copies of Command & Conquer Yuri's Revenge.
I don't even know what that is, so... That must be pretty obscure.
It's a turn-based strategy games. Command & Conquer was like... I'm sure Gil remembers that name.
I mean, they go way, vaguely familiar.
But anyway, it's one of those classic games that care to, you can download it for free. And I did want to say one other thing, too, that this should have been in the TV section, but tonight, well, just at 7 o'clock, was the premiere of the new Muppets.
Oh, yes.
And
I got that DVR'd.
Yeah, I do, too, so I'm going to probably check it out after this, maybe if I got time, if I can pull myself away from Destiny for an hour or half an hour.
Well, my first, I was going to watch it anyway, because who doesn't love the Muppets, but I started hearing all these parents' complaints about it being too sexy. I'm like, now I'm really going to watch it.
Yeah, I got to say that kind of was like, what the? I got to see what this is all about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like Much Ado About Nothing, as it usually is.
It's probably just something like maybe a few possible adult references here and there, kind of like The Incredibles. But
well, I think, I'm hoping that they gear it like the old Muppet Show on TV, and I think it's the guest stars that they're saying are too sexy. But the original Muppet Show, they had Alice Cooper. I mean, come on.
I so love the original Muppet Show.
Oh, yeah.
I was disappointed when I found out that they weren't just doing like an updated version of the Muppet Show, that this was a very, very different show. And I was like, oh, okay. But I'm still excited. I want to see it. I grew up watching that stuff and laughing my butt off. I mean, I probably got part of my bad, cheesy sense of humor from watching so much Muppet Show, because it was all about bad puns. And,
yeah, especially Waldorf and Statler.
Oh, yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, now I know who. I don't know, like, any of them by name, but with Eric's laugh right there, yeah, I know who those guys are.
Yeah, the guys that sit up in the opera box.
Yeah.
And
Peanut them. Gallery.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm going to give that one a chance. Like I said, it's my DVR set. I'm going to have it watched and see what it's about. All right, I'll tell you what. We need to end this podcast because I got work to do to, fix it and make it sound good and get all that opening music into us and, you know, all that stuff that makes it the Nerd Up Podcast. Let's call an end to the podcast. End of the podcast.
Let's do that.
My name is Gil T. Wilson. Thanks for joining us. We've got, remember, there's all sorts of ways to support the podcast. You can buy t-shirts, you can buy coffee mugs, you can shop through Amazon or iTunes. Do all that through our website. You know, it helps us out a little bit. And we don't want to get rich. We love doing this just for fun, but it's little storage space and stuff like that that costs money. So if you want, you know, like the price of a comic book, $3.99. I don't know how much they are now because I buy them digitally and they're way cheaper digitally. So the price of a comic book, donate that to us, you know. But anyway, all sorts of ways to support the podcast. In the meantime, support as the Dalek says, support. Anyway, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter at Gil Wilson.
I'm Eric Billingsley. You can reach me at Eric Bill.
I'm Isaac Wilson. You can reach me at EbelBacon88.
And that's it for the podcast. Like we say every time, stay nerdy. Nerd up.
Do you use catheters? At Comfort Medical, we understand your needs. Nobody wants to use a catheter, but because you have to, let us help you make it an easy and virtually pain-free process. At Comfort, we've been a leader in home delivery of medical supplies for years. You know us, and you can trust us. We have hundreds of catheter styles to choose from, and if you're covered by Medicare or private insurance, you can get up to 200 catheters per month at little or no cost to you. We have catheter specialists standing by right now to help you select the best catheter for your unique needs. Call now and speak with a friendly catheter specialist. 800-819-8315. 800-819-8315. Remember, with Medicare or private insurance, you can get up to 200 catheters a month at little or no cost to you. So call right now. 800-819-8315. 800-819-8315. 800-819-8315. That's 800-819-8315.